If you would take your Bibles tonight, turn to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 31, verse number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 6. While you're trying to find that, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your blessings upon us today. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness, your protection, your provision, your providence. We are grateful to be your children, thankful that you are our Father. I pray tonight, as you have helped us this morning, that you would help us again tonight as we have come together this Lord's Day to worship and glory in you. So God, help us to do that. May we see in your word these truths that should give us confidence, even in the situations that we face today. We should have confidence as God's people in our God who loves us and takes care of us. So God, help us to fear not, but instead to have faith and trust in you. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you'll do through your word for us tonight, in Christ's name. Amen. Deuteronomy 31:6, we're going to read this one verse of Scripture, which is going to be the thrust of tonight's sermon, but we'll also back up and hit verses 1 through 5 and sort of catch the context of what exactly is going on here that brings about this verse, verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And that is the absolute truth of the word of God. And all God's people said, amen. We're looking at passages in the Bible where God instructs us to fear not. God came to Abraham, you will remember, and told Abraham to fear not. And the reason he was to fear not was because God promised to be his shield and his exceedingly great reward. So if God is your shield, things are good, amen? And if God is your all-encompassing, exceeding great reward, whatever happens will be good, amen? Then God came to Hagar because he heard the lad where he was. You remember she had placed her son Ishmael under the bush and had separated herself from him far enough that she could not hear his cries of death. And God came to her and told her to fear not. And then God provided for them and promised to be present with them. And we saw that God was present and good to them all the way through, even Ishmael taking a wife. Then we saw God came to Isaac and told Isaac to fear not and promised him that God would be with him, God would bless him, and God will multiply his seed. So those are three instances in Genesis where God came to his people who were in fear, instructed them to fear not, and then gave the reasons why they should not fear. And every reason is found in him. So tonight, I want us to come to this text. This is a fear not given to us by the Lord through his servant Moses. And so I want us to try to organize my thoughts under three headings tonight. The first heading will be the context of this passage. It is the impending death of Moses. And then I want us to look at verse 6 in two ways. Firstly, looking at the inspiring directive of Moses, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. And then I want us to look finally at the end part of that verse and the impassioned declaration of Moses, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So we're going to get all six verses, but our emphasis is on verse number 6. So number 1, the impending death of Moses. Verse 1 tells us that Moses speaks these words to all of Israel. All of Israel. That would mean that what Moses is going to say is relative to everyone. Everyone in the nation of Israel needs to hear the words that Moses is getting ready to speak. There is a transition that is happening in this chapter. A transitioning from Moses being the leader of Israel to Joshua being the leader of Israel. Moses' life, if you will remember, is divided up into three 40-year periods. The first 40-year period of his life was lived in the palace in Egypt as Pharaoh's son. And then you remember, Moses killed an Egyptian and had to flee Egypt. And so the second 40 years, he was a herdsman in Midian on the backside of the desert. And for those 40 years, God was preparing him to be his servant. And then the second 40-year period, at the end of that second year period, we have the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. And then the final 40 years of Moses' life was lived wandering in the wilderness as punishment for failing to believe God's promise. So Moses, at this time when we come to Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses is 120 years old. Good night. Can you imagine that? 120 years old. And he has come to the end of his life. He says here in this text that he can no longer go out or come in. He has a physical disability. He no longer has the physical ability and probably not the mental ability anymore to lead the nation of Israel. Plus, God has already told him because of his sin, he will not go over the Jordan River into the promised land. So, Moses' days as a servant of God are coming to an end. His days on this earth are coming to an end. And his work for God, which has been a good work, is finished. Moses tells the people that while he will not be able to go with them into the promised land, he tells them that the Lord will go with them. And that is the most important thing, amen? Not that Moses is going, but that the Lord was going with them. And it would be Joshua that would lead them in his absence. Verse number 3, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. So Moses can't go, but the Lord will go. And Moses says that the Lord will go, and he will work on your behalf, and God will give you this land. Now, one thing we need to understand, Moses is replaceable. Say amen. Men are replaceable. Every single one of us in this room tonight are replaceable. Joshua is going to replace Moses because as great as Moses was, he is a man and is replaceable. God is not replaceable. Moses is not essential. God is essential. And it is, I'm sure, heartbreaking that Moses will not lead the children of Israel into the promised land, but God will be with them, and that is the most essential, important thing. Look at verse number 4. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. Now notice that Moses brings to the minds of the children of Israel what God has done in the past. He will do to them as he did. You see that? The past work of God is a good indicator of what the future work of God will be. So let me ask you a question tonight. Has God been good to you in the past? Has God taken care of you in the past? Has God directed you past dangerous waters in the past? Then why would we think that God would not do it now? Moses says God has done these wonderful things for you in the past, and he will do it again. Joshua will lead the forces of Israel. They will conquer these nations. They will possess their lands. And it will be God himself who does all of the fighting. Amen? Just as God has fought for them in the past, God will fight for them in the new land. Moses' confidence in God, in his promised work, is based partly on what God has done in the past. And this is why. If God had promised something to me in the past and it had not come to pass, it was a lie, should I believe him in the future? Probably not. If he lied to me in the past, could he lie to me in the future? Sure. But you know what God hasn't done? He hasn't lied to me in the past. He has been absolutely 100% faithful to me in everything he promised for me. Why would I not? Why would I not depend upon him and his faithfulness in the future? Say amen. You know, sometimes we act as if God has done nothing for us. Sometimes we act as if God has not protected us or taken care of us or promised us anything, and he has. Over and over and over again. Have confidence that God will take care of you today. And God will take care of you tomorrow because God has taken care of you yesterday. Amen? Now, notice that God is going to do all this for a purpose. And the purpose is that his people might obey all his commandments. They are to show, they are to display, they are to manifest that they belong to God by their loving obedience to his commands. Follow God. Obey God because he has taken care of you and he will take care of you. So there's the context of our verse number 6, and it is about the impending death of Moses. The people going on to the promised land and Joshua taking the place of Moses as the leader of the nation, but yet God is the one going into the new land. Now, let's move to verse number 6. Here we see the inspiring directive of Moses. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Moses is speaking here again to the nation, all of the nation. He is going to reiterate this charge, this directive to Joshua in commissioning him to be the leader, but he's speaking to the nation here, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. That's what the nation is to do. That's what the people are to do. What are the people to do? Be strong. Be courageous. Be fearless. Can you even begin to imagine how the people of Israel feel? The leader, their leader, is dying. He's not going to lead them into the promised land. There is this new leader, Joshua, who they have never been under his leadership. And the problems that were in Canaan land back when they disbelieved God are still the problems in Canaan land. There are giants and there are walled cities. There's difficulty and troubles and problems over there, even maybe the loss of life. So none of that has changed. So you can understand the fearfulness that is in the people's hearts. You can understand the fearfulness that is in Joshua's heart. They're all facing these new challenges with new leadership. And there are things in the land that just make them fearful. But although those things are true, they have to exhibit certain things. And just because God has promised to ensure them victory, just because God has ensured them that He will do the fighting for them, just because He has promised to give them the victory, does not mean they will not have to go through difficult, tough, and trying times. It doesn't mean they won't have to fight. And they must be strong. They must be courageous. They must be fearless. Say amen. To be strong means to attach oneself to the task without wavering, to be a conqueror, to be diligent. Be strong. Don't waver. Don't run. Be strong. Attach yourself to the task and don't look back. Say amen. To be of good courage speaks of that which is pleasant or fruitful or precious and righteous. Be strong and be righteous. Be strong and be fruitful. Say amen. Don't be disobedient to God. Be of good courage. Do what God has commanded you to do in the face of all that is going to come against you. And the word fear indicates the feeling that one has when something may go wrong. Don't fear. Be righteous. Don't waver. And then finally, don't be frightened. Don't be frightened. Don't be terrified of those people in the land. Joshua and the people of Israel are to display strength, strongness, a diligent desire to continue, to march forward, courageousness and fearlessness, and they're not to be afraid. In other words, Moses says, you must proceed, you have to walk, you have to go, you have to move into the land, but you have to move into the land by faith. You must trust the words of God. You must follow God's servant Joshua, and you must be strong, and you must be courageous, and you must be fearless. You cannot waver. You must remain fruitful. You cannot fear, and you cannot be terrified by anything you see over there. You have to trust God's promises. They are not to be dismayed. They are not to be distracted. They are not to delay. And they are not to be deterred. They are to be strong, courageous, fearless. They are to go forward. They are to proceed. They are to advance. They are to do what God said to do as they trust God to do what He said He would do. Say amen. They are to go forward not with confidence in their own abilities, not in confidence of their own power, but in confidence of their own God. And though they will have to engage in the fighting, their minds are not to be focused on the enemy. Their minds are not to be focused on the difficulties. Their minds are not to be focused on the struggle, because those things will quickly overwhelm us. But rather, their minds need to be fixed on God, His Word, His power, His might, His works. We have to admit that we need strength from the Lord. We need courage from the Lord. We need fearlessness from the Lord. And let me say this. Strength, courage, and fearlessness looks a lot different than weakness, cowardliness, and fear. Say amen. John MacArthur said this week, quote, "We have discovered that you don't need an army to conquer a nation. All you need is fear." Unquote. And he's absolutely right. All you need to topple a nation is to put the people in. God says, fear not. Fear not. Number three, the impassioned declaration of Moses is the third point. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So here is the motivation. He declares the motivation for the direction that He gives them. Why? How can we be courageous? How can we be strong? How can we be fearless? Well, here are the reasons why. There are four of them. Number one, be strong, be courageous, be fearless, because God is your God. Say amen. He is not the God. He is not a God. He's my God. He's your God. Which means that we are His children. Which means He has made me His child. He has saved us. He has sanctified us. He has taken care of us as a father takes care of a child. And God has been good to us, has He not? Your father has never disappointed you, has he? And He might not do this for everyone, but He will do it for you because He's your God. Say amen. He's your God. Can you even fathom that? That the God of the universe, the God that placed the sun and the moon and the planets and the stars in their place, that God is my God. That God is your God. The God that created all things with His words. That God is your God. The God that controls all things in the sovereignty of His will, that God is my God and your God. That God is my God. And that God is your God. Say amen. If that is true, if this God is your God, then be strong. Be courageous. Be fearless. Amen? Because this God is your God. Then he says, it is He that doeth now with you. Now listen. There is nothing that we have to do in our own strength or in our own abilities. He, this God that is my God, do you know what He does? He goes with me. He goes with you. So wherever I go, He goes with me. And Moses said He even goes before you. He goes before me. He goes with me. There is never a time in which the presence of God is not with us, His children. Which means that whatever we have to face, we never face it alone. You are never alone. God has promised that wherever you go, He will go. Whatever you have to face, He will face it with you. Say amen. So Jack's not looking for employment by himself. God's with him. Say amen. We don't have to face corona by ourselves. God is with us. And if God is with us, in whatever we face and wherever we go, should we not be strong and courageous and fearless? The all-powerful, almighty, all-sovereign God is my God. And that God goes with me wherever I have to go. I used to leverage my brother. My brother, at one time, was 6'4". About 225 pounds. He was a man. And when I, just 8 years younger than him, when I was with him, I thought I could do anything. Because he was there. Say amen. He would take care of the situations. There was one time when I said something to somebody and they got all upset about it, and they sort of jumped in my face about it. And here come my brother. And my brother looked at this person in the eye and said, "I will be your worst nightmare." And that guy started, "Oh, no, wait a minute. Say amen." I was glad that my brother was with me. Say amen. I am more glad that God is with me. And if I could be strong and courageous and fearless if my brother was there, how much more can I be strong and fearless if my God is with me? Say amen. Thirdly, Moses says, He will not fail you. He will not relax. He will not sleep. He will not slumber. He will not leave His post. He will not fail to do what He said He will do. He has the power to do everything that He has promised He will do. Whatever God said He will do, He will do. He will not fail. Failure is not an option. It is one thing to know that God will go with you. It is another thing to know that He has the power to overcome everything that we face while He's with us. Say amen. God will be with you, and God will go before you, and He will not fail us. Drive those thoughts from your mind. There will be no failure on God's part. God will do that which is for our good. God will do that which is for His glory, and He will not ever fail. He will not ever fail in doing that. So please do not think that God can fail. He cannot fail. And please do not think that Corona is greater than God. Finally, he says, nor forsake you. God will not abandon you. God will not make you an orphan without a father. He will not make you a widow without a husband. What will happen when things get really hard? What will happen when things get really difficult? What will happen when things get really dangerous? I don't know. But I do know what won't happen. If things get worse, if things get more difficult, if things get really dangerous, if things in your life become really, really hard and challenging, I don't know what will happen when that happens, but I know what won't happen when that happens. And what won't happen is He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And I would guarantee you there are people in this auditorium tonight who have gone through some very heartbreaking, difficult, discouraging times in their life, heartbreaking times in their life, and they would tell you, He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He won't abandon you. What that means is God is committed to staying with you through whatever may come. And I know that's hard for us to understand because we live in a society where people are quick to cut bait and run. If things don't work out, if things get hard, if things get difficult, they check out. God doesn't do that. Moses may leave you. Joshua may leave you. But God is never going to leave you. God will not only fight for you, He will never stop fighting for you. No matter what you must face, you will never face it alone. You will never have to face it in your own strength. God will go with you, and God will not tuck tail and run. And all God's people said, Amen. So because Jehovah God is your God, because you are a child of Jehovah God, because He has promised that wherever you go and whatever you face, He will be with you, because He has promised that in His might and in His power, He will not fail you, and because He has promised that He will never, ever forsake you, that's why you need to be strong. That's why you need to be courageous. That's why you need to be fearless, and that's why you should not be frightened of anything outside of God. Trust Him. Advance. Go forward. Trust Him. Obey what He commands, and you will not be disappointed in Him. And all God's people said, Amen.